Hello, how you doing? I'm trying to get good at this. You know, I don't have that professional, beautiful voice for radio, but I am getting to the point where I really love being able to give you some hot food. Might not be a good food, you might not like it, but I'm sure one day you'll love it because it's good for you. It's like good old mashed potatoes and some cornbread and greens, so you can build that body up. But we want some spiritual bodybuilding right now. Today we want to thank you for being with us on Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, and right here in the Antelope Valley. We appreciate our producer and all that he's doing and keeping this thing going. So let us get started here. Today I want to talk about something that a lot of us don't, as Christians, don't like to hear about. And if you're not a Christian, you definitely don't want to hear about it. It's dealing with suffering. And today we're going to talk about learning to celebrate suffering by picking up your cross. Learning to celebrate suffering by picking up your cross. Corrie ten Boom was in one of the camps during World War II in Germany, and she and her sister were with 10,000 other women who suffered in these camps. And they would sometimes come around, the men would come around with their weapons drawn, and they would intimidate the women. And many times these women were abused ferociously by the soldiers in all types of ways. Corrie ten Boom, who eventually became a great evangelist and preacher of the gospel, told a story about her and her sister who were in this camp. And many times they were asked all types of questions concerning why are they suffering this way. But she encouraged them to continue to pray for one another. And one evening, these soldiers came by, and these women were in real terrible condition. Hadn't had a shower or a bath, many of them were sick, and Corrie ten Boom's sister was sick. And so she knew that if these men came to try to pick her sister, she was going to fling herself in front of her for them to take her, because she didn't want her sister to die. But there's a funny thing. These women were all infested with fleas. And when it came time for them to open up the doors to go into these women's cells to rape them, I don't want to sugarcoat it, fleas came out of everywhere. And the women were already infested, but there were fleas that just jumped on all the soldiers. They immediately closed the door and locked the door of the cell and ran out of there. And Corrie ten Boom looked around and she said, "Thank God for the fleas." And you know what? Fleas might have been a pest during the women at the time, but they came to their rescue at a time that they needed to be rescued away from these men. God's got a reason for everything, brothers and sisters. It says God wants us to know that even he allowed his son to suffer for us. And why is that? Well, he sent his only begotten son down here to show us how to live, and he also showed us how to die. One of the things he really showed us how to do is how to suffer with dignity. And so that's why I want you to tell you that if you don't get anything else out of this, we all, whether we are saved or not saved, are learning how to suffer in this world. But with Christ, knowing him and suffering with him because he's right there with us, showing us how, is what gives us peace. Without that, you probably, a lot of Christians and a lot of people would lose their minds, because suffering, sometimes you cannot even explain why it is. It's absurd. You know, this world is like the theater of the absurd, one of my pastors said to me the other day. And when studying the book of Ecclesiastes, that things don't make sense. People who are evil and wicked seem to be flourishing and prospering, and people who are doing good are being killed for no reason many times, or suffer from. So we always ask that question, well, why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? Well, we'll deal with that, I think, at the end if we have time. That's a universal question, but I'm going to tell you the answer right now. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you why you suffer. They even asked Job. Job had the question, and Job suffered more than any man, human being that we know of, other than Christ. And by the time it turned around, he had his day in court with Christ, with the Father, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He had court with him. He wanted to get his point across. And God asked him one, asking question after question after question from chapter 38 to 41. He couldn't ask another one. So God doesn't have to explain himself, but he wants you to know that all things work together for the good. For those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose, he's got a reason for everything. So we might as well just learn how to do what I learned how to do a long time ago. Shut up, listen, and do what he tells me to do. When we were building this building, we had an architect, and I used to go and sit with him, and he would show me his designs, and I would say, oh, I like this, I like that, I don't like this. I told him, but I want two pillars in the front. I want two pillars in the front because I got a name for them, Grace and Mercy, because we all need some grace. It was grace that saves us, and it's mercy that keeps us. Mercy is just God's way of saying, I feel sorry for you, and I'm going to do something for you. So thank God for his mercy. But one of the things this guy was saying was that, you know, you don't want to put a cross on your building because it takes the price down. The price down is what y'all decided. If y'all outgrow it and decide to sell it. And he said also, it's not a cross on the building is just not aesthetic. It's not beautiful. It just takes something away for people who might want to buy the building who are not believers and want to use it for something else. So, knowing we here at Agape, we got two crosses on the building. But you know, the cross means suffering. You know, when you look at a cross, it's saying, you live in a world filled with suffering. And that God has given us each a journey of life that where we're going to see some suffering in our lives. I heard my mother just recently, they told me that she had cancer. And my mother said, well, I might have cancer, but cancer don't have me because I got Christ. And he's giving me peace over it, so I don't have a problem. I'm just going to keep on living and telling people who he is. I said, Mama, that's the right attitude because he's going to keep you here for a reason. There's a reason for you being here. Also, for our suffering out there, I believe that God is going to give us a ring for our suffering. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that we're going to get a ring, a white stone. And I think that stone declares us not guilty. Thank God for that. But it also says, in getting that not guilty, that you did suffer with Christ for it. So we get a ring for our suffering. So that's the thing that we always want to keep in mind. God doesn't have you to do anything without compensation. And his compensation is far greater than ours. When we compensate people, we get stingy when we want to compensate somebody for doing being obedient sometimes. But especially at the church. The church folks and preachers, I found this line, they want everything free. They want stuff done at a discount. They want this because they're a preacher. Shut up. Get in line with the rest of everybody else. And just take your whipping on when they work on your car and they charge you $500 for a $2 part. Anyway, we're going to get away from that. Let me have suffering too in it. I think so. What? Okay. All right. We need to understand, Christians, we need to get ready because the world is conspiring to take Christian books pretty much off the market if they say anything against the LGBTQ movement or position. And that includes the Bible. It's right now on our on the assembly floor in California. And pretty soon, they say, as California goes, so the rest of the United States. And so this is something that we Christians who love Christ and the truth are going to suffer a little bit if we stand up for him. So be in prayer about it. Be in prayer about it. Before we start talking about suffering, I want you to think about what kind of person you are. That's probably, I've heard this before from J.D. Farrakh over in Hawaii, wonderful preacher. And I'll probably say it a little different than him, but the point is that he said there's three types of people in the world, three types of people. Number one, I call them thugs, but they're really sinners. Because a lot of sinners have gotten used to hearing the word sinner, and they don't think it doesn't have the same powerful connotation that it should have. We want you to know that God loves the world. He loves all people. He loves sinners. He does not love the sin. He loves those who are rich and proud, and don't even care about the poor or anything that's going on with them. Usually, sinners, and I call them thugs, usually they love the world so much they can't see heaven. So it's foolishness to even think about it. They say, hey, heaven and hell is right here on earth. I don't want you to believe that, because it's not. Hell is somewhere you don't want to go. You don't want to go to hell. So get that little, I don't know if you heard it on a song or the thing, Temptations. Well, look, the Temptations, they sung it, so you know you better watch out. Temptation, okay. Anyway, you might get it. Also, the unbelieving spiritually poor. Sometimes poor people can be just as mean and cruel and crazy as those who are rich concerning their spiritual well-being. They say it's God's fault that they're the way they are. They don't, they're in denial about their lives. But the Lord wants to make all of us spiritually rich if we would just receive his only begotten Son as the greatest spiritual gift you can get. And he declares us not guilty again. And he pays all of our sin debt. And that means you have to be a perfect human being to be sacrificed for that. And I've been looking around, and I look in the mirror, and I say, it ain't me. So I probably wouldn't go no way when I saw those spikes. So... and now the third person, because I don't want to get off to, I'm trying to stick to my thought here. I want you to also know that there's three types of people. There's also the remnant. The remnant, they love God with all their hearts, mind, and soul. They're groaning for the return of Christ to take them at the rapture. And they're doing all they can, that they can do while they can do it, is to bring unbelievers to Jesus. And then we let Jesus do his thing. Like Andrew, always was bringing people to Christ. And then once the people saw Christ, and because he is the message, they saw in him that he was. Those who were looking for him saw and realized he was the Messiah. So he didn't come the way they thought he was going to come. As a rich person on a big white steed in this dispensation. He'd come in and he'd destroy the Romans like Judas Maccabeus, if you look at the history. But he came as a little lamb, a sweet, loving person who came to heal those that are bruised and those that are hurting and those who are going through it, going through having a hard time, those who are suffering. And don't think he didn't suffer. All his life he suffered. People talked about his mama. Now, you talk about somebody's mama, then you're going to go upside somebody's head. I know I did. I will. Don't talk about my mom. But they talk about Mary all the time. And here, this is Jesus Christ. He's the God of the universe. He could have pulled down some angels then, even when he was 12, I think. They were talking about my mama. I'd have ever saw every angel in heaven come down there and bust him upside the head. But anyway, y'all forgive me. My brain is, I'm a court jester for the Lord. So anyway, just look past me, but listen to what I'm saying, okay? The third type of people in the world are those who are Christians, but they are what they call lukewarm. That's almost like saying their fire has went out. They've gotten caught up in the world, and they So now their heart is not totally committed to Christ anymore. When they first got saved, they had so much zeal. They were working and they was in church all the time, asking and telling everybody, come to church, come and meet Christ, do this, do that. Then they started not to stop reading their Bible, stop praying, and they just stopped. And so their fire went out. And the only way you can get heated back up is you have to get closer to the fireplace. If you go into a cold house, you go and get stand next to the fire. And that means we as Christians need to get back closer to Jesus. And that's by studying his word and being around other Christians who are on fire for God. So, and if you're going to get back to him, you need to know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christos, Joshua, Yeshua, HaMashiach, God the Son. I believe his whole life is just a message for us to look at and read and understand and meditate on. Never a man like he walked this earth and offered what he offered and did what he did. And his body is not here. Aristotle, his body's somewhere in the ground somewhere. And Socrates, his body's somewhere in the ground. Anybody you want to think of, Confucius, his body is somewhere in the ground. Buddha is, or Siddhartha is what you want to call him, isn't it? His body is somewhere in the ground. You know, all these people that have developed communism and atheism. It's funny how atheists, when they get in trouble, they always say, oh God. I wonder about that. That's an old joke. Y'all know it's older than I am. But I love him. And you know what? God loves those who don't even love him. And I know he loves me forever. But he loves those that even make a decision to say they don't want him. And he still loves them forever. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Even in hell, he still has love for you. Wow. So he has to be fair. Can't allow everybody. He always, as I said, he compensates for your suffering. Let's see it in the scriptures. And then we'll go from there. And I'm sure we'll almost be out of here. So if you haven't been listening, listen to the word now. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, what it says about suffering. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 15. I'm in the Good News Bible now. It says, for the spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. God doesn't want any of us to be afraid. He wants you to know something. He wants you to hear what he has to say. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children, and by the Spirit power, we cry out to God. Father, my Father. 16. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. We're in communion with him. Once we get saved through the Spirit that's in us, we're in communion with his Spirit. And when that means we are like glued, bonded to his strength, when we allow his strength to flow through us. When we're dependent on God, when we're weak, that's when we're strong. When we're dependent on him and realize we have no power without him. But with him, we have all power because he has all power. Amen. It's good preaching to me. I'll say amen to myself. 17. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people. And he will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. Amen. It's like when you're on a football team. I played football. On the football team, when we win together. We share the glory. When we lose, we suffer together. And all that together is for the good. Through winning, losing, suffering, gaining, we become stronger and become more loving. We're even concerned sometimes when we beat the opposing team, too bad. We'd be praying for them. Amen. And thank God for that. Thank God for a good Christian competition. Amen. We'll talk about that another time. Let's look at also Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. I want to give you all some words since we're having a Bible study. Philippians 3:10, what does it say? It says this, as soon as I can get it. 3:10 says this. It says, all I want is to know that Christ, I don't want to know it's Christ, and to experience the power of his resurrection. That means you have totally sold out to the resurrection power of Christ. Did you know that power that got him up from the dead will also resurrect in you and us if you should die, or the resurrection at the rapture is a resurrection also. So we're all looking for him to return at the blessed hope. The hope is that you won't have to die physically. You will just translate right from this life right into heaven instantly. And it's not a fairy tale, brothers and sisters. To share in his sufferings and become like him in his death. It means a glorified person. In this hope that I myself will be raised from death to life. Now, Paul knew about death. He knew he was getting ready. They knew they were getting ready to take him on to where he would see glory. Because the Romans were ready to crucify him. And he knew he walked with death every day. A lot of you in your jobs, you walk with death every day. Anything could happen to you. Telephone linemen always are in danger. Policemen always in danger. Firemen always in danger. And we, as Christians, like firemen, we're supposed to be helping bring people to him. So I think I better shut this down, but I just wanted to let you know that we got to learn how to celebrate even when we're suffering, because it has a purpose. Even Jesus learned from suffering, and he knows everything, and he teaches us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's rich and filling to our spirits and our souls. Be with us, Lord, as we try to digest it. And Lord, help us when we face all types of things from this world until you return. Give us the strength to stand and help us to fight from on bended knee through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Okay.